Pickaxe.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 € bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 € gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 € oder Mucki Sandwich Eis je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 €. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Travels Podcast. We're still doing this.
Still going. That's right. We're consistent, if nothing else, at least, you know?
Well, yeah, that's what you want, isn't it? You want us here year after year.
Day after day, week after week, month after month.
Except we're like Gary Neville of podcasts. Glamorous. We get the job done. We just always...
We turn up.
We are literally doing a podcast. That's the most you could say.
I think I'm like the Gary Barlow of podcasts.
You're going for Gary Barlow instead of Gary Neville.
Bit of a genius, you know? Like, had some good ones. Some couple stinkers here and there, but mostly like really good ones.
So you're saying that Gary Barlow is a genius?
No, I'm just saying. Well, I mean, he's not... I don't think he's a genius, but he has undeniably had some hits. He's had more hits than I have.
He has had some hits.
He's had some hits. Yeah.
Well, what does that make me, like the Gary Lineker of this podcast? I don't know. What's
you think you're
like the Gary Coleman of this podcast? If we're going Gary,
there could be worse Garys to be than Gary Coleman. To be honest,
that's true. Glitter.
Yeah. You could be Gary Glitter. Yeah.
God didn't even think. Well, that's a great place to start, isn't it? God,
Get it going.
Yeah, got to get it going.
So what have you done this week, guys? Sipsperium, what have you done? Anything interesting? You've been anywhere? Have you done anything? Have you seen anything?
No,
have you thought about anything?
Not really, no. Yes. I still got tons of stuff happening on my house, which is progressing nicely. Almost done,
still?
I think. Now, finally. I know. Well, man, as we've had
which
a lot of setbacks.
Which part of it are they working on now? The old rooms.
So like, my kids rooms. Are in their new rooms. They're all done and stuff. We just need to get some wardrobes painted. And then we just need the master bedroom just needs to be repainted and stuff. And then we're done. So
now,
it's,
what is
we're,
your
we're close.
What is your style of decoration? Is just, it like
just classical just, Greek? Just
yes.
Columns yeah. everywhere.
Marble everywhere. We go for the gold. We go for like the dictator chic, you know, like they would like the gold plating on everything. We like
bathroom taps. Gold,
okay.
Yeah.
We're going for like a Gaddafi.
Like a Saddam Hussein.
Sort of. Yeah. Mansion, like a Saddam right. Hussein's.
Kind of like over the top. Gold AK-47 on the
Absolutely.
Wall.
Absolutely. God. Yeah. Every room has one. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And just,
in
the other
case of
option.
Infidel, break glass. And yeah. Grab AK.
We got a room full of sneakers. I've got hundreds of pairs of sneakers and other and hats.
That's
baseball
a Cribs.
Caps.
That's an MTV Cribs classic.
I got,
those
500 baseball caps.
God, what is it? One of them rooms with jelly beans in it. A jelly
bean
wall.
I just got a jelly bean room. Yeah.
Fucking. Do you have like would you have like a home theater? Do you mean, like, would you have a cinema room?
No, I don't think so.
With like a large...
I always said if I was going to have a cinema room, it would have to be like Tony Soprano's cinema room, you know? Like,
right.
That's an actual cinema room. I think if you've converted, like you know, like my garage where I work from sort of thing.
Yes.
I think if you did it up properly, you could be like, yeah, it's a cinema room. But if you just put a TV on the wall and then started calling it a cinema room, I don't think it's really a cinema room. It's just it's a room with a TV in it. You know what I mean? Like, I guess that's all a cinema room is, but
want the proper chairs.
The bar is set at Tony Soprano's
okay.
home cinema room. You know what I mean? Like, he's got the proper chairs with like the drink holders and like,
yeah.
you could fit like probably like 10, 15 people in there. Like it actually feels like a cinema, you know?
Yes.
And not just some half-assed. It's a lie, basically. If you're telling people you got a cinema room and it doesn't look like Tony Stewart, you're lying. You are a liar.
Well, it doesn't have to be big, right? It can be like, you know, a little rinky-dink one. You know, it could be could be like a cut closet with, you know, black carpet.
A cuck closet, did you say?
Like a little cupboard. I was going to say a cupboard or a closet. What's a cuck closet is where you hide when someone's fucking your wife, I guess.
Your wife and her boyfriend are getting it on and you're hiding in the closet.
You're in the cuck closet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to have enough room to jerk off to. Or else it's just
know, that's what they call the single chair in a hotel room is the cuck chair.
The cuck chair.
Right, I see.
Because a lot of the cuck porn seems to take place in a hotel, because obviously you don't want to do it where your neighbors can see.
And they have a guy watching sat in that chair.
And that's the cut chair. You sit there and watch some dude rail your wife. You know, people say don't kink shame. I won't. I think I would just say there are a lot of stories.
Except in that case.
What they call cuck regret, which is a specific sort of very, very specific angle that you see on Reddit sometimes, like cuck regret story.
Reddit seems to be full of very, very specific angles. It's that kind of place, isn't it?
It's very angular.
It is very,
very, very angular place.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying getting into running because I felt that I just sit around on my fat ass all day, so I should do some exercise. And I've been doing running for the last couple of weeks. I'm currently on an off day because I ran for like 4 days in a row. You should have an off day.
Yeah.
I'm just building up gradually to running a little more. And anytime I'm going to like pop to a shop or nip to the bus stop or whatever, I'll run there just to try and get a little bit of exercise in all the time throughout the day. But trying to do a mile or two run in the morning. I get up, I get out. And now that it's spring, it's made it a lot easier because I bloody love spring.
So is this off the back of your fun run? Well, not fun run.
Fun walk.
Remembrance walk. Yeah.
This is off the back of, I think, general anxiety. A lot of the time, you can alleviate fears about getting older if you feel like you're doing something to mitigate the damage of sitting around being old. So it just helps with my general sense of well-being to just do
I think
something.
A lot of people
that's good.
Does it get your heart pounding?
Oh yeah.
And you get sweaty. Do you have like proper shoes and
is
stuff?
Your heart like beating out of your chest?
Yeah, it's like really hurts. Going for a run is really, really, really painful.
Yeah,
painful in your heart,
just everywhere.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because it's not something I've ever really done. I've never been someone who does a lot of long distance running. Never enjoyed it. Didn't really.
You think
get
you're going to get hooked on it now?
I don't know if I'll become one of those people that gets hooked on it, because to me, it's just more of a means to an end rather than something that I like. Oh, I love it. But when it's a bit muddy and you're running through the mud and it's spraying up on you and the weather's miserable, I quite like that.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah. But when it's a beautiful day, I kind of feel like, well, this could have been a pleasant walk. But instead, I just wish I was dead. That's how it feels.
Do you like stomping through the puddles?
The more miserable it is, the more gratifying it is to be out running in it, because you feel like a hard man on one of those SAS shows.
Right, I see. You're like steam's coming off you.
Feels manly and outdoorsman like.
Right, even you feel like you're jumping out of a helicopter in combat.
Yeah, yeah. It's like,
except you're running through like
Agent
a muddy
P-flax
park.
We're going to have to drop you a cake, one click outside the landing zone.
One cake. After you're done.
One cake outside. They'll follow the string of cakes to the target. We know that we have to keep you topped up with cake.
Well, you know when you get in too in shape.
Yeah. That would get me going for sure.
You blow your cover as like, you know, just an average dad. You know, you have to keep that bod.
Oh my goodness.
Have you guys played Monster Hunter Wilds? Don't ask me why I'm at.
Not my kind of game.
No, me neither. It's I've never played one before, and I've watched like a couple of people playing it just to, you know, get an idea for it or whatever. I probably still won't play it. It just doesn't appeal. I don't know. Like I think I just missed the whole.
It's not for me.
Yeah.
Well, no, I enjoyed the last one. And the thing is, I tell you why I didn't enjoy the last one. I didn't enjoy the last one. Not because I'm a vegan or anything and killing animals is abhorrent to me.
Here it comes.
But I didn't like it because it's one of these games where I wanted to. I think the weapon I picked was like hammer or greatsword or something, like something really slow.
Right.
And I found that like I would swing my sword and the monster would be like next week when my hit would land. You know, it was so difficult to land the hits, because it was real, like, kind of a timing skill based one of the, it was a game that was on purpose slow. Like, you're supposed to sort of predict where the enemy's going to go.
Yeah.
Or work with a partner who stuns them, and then you come in with your mega hammer and clonk them for a million damage in the head, you know?
Right, yeah.
But it, I found it difficult to, I think some of these games are just better with friends, and I don't have friends. I think that's the issue.
That's
like,
sad.
When I come home in the evening, like, you know, the times I have available, you know, because I tend to, like...
I come home in the evening... Baby, I got nothing to play. I got no friends on Steam. Oh, baby, feeling the same way.
Oh, exactly. It's more, I was thinking about this the other day, right?
Hey, wait. Do we really want to do video game chat for another
No, he's talking about chat. Having no friends now, so it's...
That's a topic I want to hear more
about. Every day, I
in
come
every
in,
way, you get a little
and I hang out
bit
with
better.
My friends, and we play games, and we record podcasts, and we chat, and we socialize, and all this, right? By the end of the day, I'm normally, like, tired out from socializing. And
your social battery is run out?
Yeah, and I often, sometimes I get home, I sit on the sofa, and I, like, fall asleep a little bit or doze off. And then I'm like, it's only, like, 7 o'clock at this point, you know? And I get up, and I'm like, oh, God, I have to make something to eat. So then I, you know, I'll cook something easy, like make a curry or pasta or something, you know, because I can't be fucked to do anything that requires any kind of effort. Even like putting the air fryer on is too much effort. I'll just boil something or, you know, microwave.
What do you mean you'll just boil something? What does that
mean? I'll boil some pasta or I'll
what are you putting on the pasta? Like, give me
like a jar
Lulu, give me your store cupboard pasta. Like, what are you doing? What pasta dish are you making with your store cupboard stuff? If you're lippy or lazy.
I've got like this corn or rice fusilli or whatever. It's like gluten-free
pasta.
Do you need
gluten-free,
yesterday.
Or is that the partner?
That's partner. So, you know, it's just the same though. It doesn't really make a difference. It just costs a pound more or whatever. And just put that in a pan. That takes like 7 minutes.
So they take an ingredient out and they charge you more? That's crazy.
bit of salt and pepper, bit of flora buttery on there. Just, you know, just a little
flora.
Bit just to make it nice. Just a little
margarine.
And then I've got kimchi. I've got some beetroot. It's like Verdaz brand beetroot kimchi. And they have regular kimchi, which is quite nice. Quite healthy. And then I have a little bit of greens on there, like a little bit of salad-y bits, and Mr. Organic tofu ragu or something, like a
may
little jar
I,
of pasta
may
sauce.
May I interject?
Go for it.
This is why you don't give a shit about cooking.
It's delicious.
Because at the
and
end
easy.
Of it, the what? Only thing you have to show for it is the most miserable, sad, flavorless, bland meal that it's possible for a human
honestly,
being to construct.
Honestly, for me, it's about like ticking off the healthy things, though. You know, I wanna keep my immune system going. I wanna like feel
he eats to live. He doesn't live to eat.
For dinner, I enjoyed apple peel, which is very high in
fiber,
magnesium, and carbonate. Very important. I also then run my teeth down a piece of wood to get some wood shavings in my mouth. Water that has been boiled thrice and then left in the sun to soak up cosmic rays.
Right, gotta have organic.
And then I also
infused.
Shake hands with a mouse and apologize for humanity's ills.
Lewis, I know where you're coming from, though. Like,
here's the other option. Just whack on a bacon sardine, mate, and a little couple sausages. Oh, treat yourself, love. You know, you've got to live a little, right? You ain't going to last forever. Like, whack it down with a few pints of Guinness. Oh, lovely. That's a meal in itself, them two pints. Don't need nothing else.
I just want to get it over with. Like, I don't want to spend time cooking. I don't even really want to spend time eating. Like,
Oh, my God.
I saw you
posted a picture of a paella that you cooked the other day.
Yeah, what about it?
A paella.
Did I tell you about that? I cooked it at the weekend, so I didn't tell you about it. I was determined to cook every week one big dish that I hadn't really cooked much before.
Right.
To challenge myself, to mix up the older dinners. I think I talked about this previously. Where
you
it's
did
like,
a little bit,
You get into this habit of the same thing. So I did a paella at the weekend, and it was a seafood paella. And there's a very famous, locally famous fishmonger's called Sandy's in Twickenham, which is excellent. And I went in there and I bought prawns, I bought squid, and I bought mussels and brought them home. And the lad, when he gives me, he bought us a kilogram bag of mussels in a net. They're alive. They're living mussels. He cuts a hole in the bag. He says, that's so they can breathe. You got to keep it open so they can breathe. I was like, okay. I get home. I had, in classic Pyrian Flax fashion, I had bumbled into this like a moron. Hadn't looked up how you're meant to look after mussels. And what you're meant to do is take them out of any plastic and sort of put them in a bowl, or preferably sort of what I did, lay them out on a tray and cover them with like a wet bit of kitchen paper or something so they can breathe and they don't get too dry. Right. I just left them in the bag thinking, well, there's a hole in it. That's what the lad said. And then
I'm going to eat them in like fucking 2 hours anyway. Who cares? How fucking dry are they going to get?
No, it's not even about that. They die. And they die.
Well, yeah,
and
then you're going to kill them in 2 hours. No. Who cares?
No.
Like, what's the fucking problem?
So the problem is that they have an enzyme in them that when they die, they break down and go bad very quickly. And you can get really bad food poisoning. And shellfish food poisoning, you never want to go there. It's really
within
bad.
Within like fucking, within 2 hours?
Yeah, it's got to be fresh. You cannot cook and eat dead mussels.
I don't think, I understand if you're leaving them in the fridge overnight and they're dead or whatever, but like, you know, I think you're cooking them.
No, it's not okay. I'm telling you.
You have to kill them seconds before you eat them.
And what you do is, we checked and they were all dead, so I put the paella off till Sunday.
How did you check they were all dead?
Because they're open, and when you tap them, they don't close.
Oh.
So what you do is, we bought the mussels. This time I looked after them. On Sunday I looked after them. And then me and my eldest, we got the mussels, and you look at each individual one. If it's closed, you put it in the okay bowl. You're like, that's fine. If it's open at all, you tap it and it closes. So like literally slowly closes like a Venus flytrap. Like, ooh, like that. If it doesn't close or it's broken, you toss it. And then when you cook them, you only cook them for like 6 minutes, 5-6 minutes. You just sort of put them in a pan with a little bit of boiling water at the bottom and they steams. And when they open up, they die, they open up, you can eat them. If they don't open up, you toss them. And that's how you do the mussels. So I'd never done that before. Learned something about that. And it was delicious. The paella was delicious.
I did see on the end, there was a Kurzgesagt video about meat this week.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
I think they have a very good attitude towards these things. They did a video on how good milk was recently, which I disagreed with, but
nutritionally or like to use in stuff.
I think they consider milk to be like an important way to feed the amount of people we have on the planet. And it's it's a good source of people for
born, babies and stuff. Yeah. But I mean,
yeah, I think it's more in developing countries where they don't have access to like it's resources like protein and easy protein and stuff like this. Anyway, they did this great video on where your meat comes from, because there is this great, you know, problem in our society, which is we all love animals, but we don't love, we keep quiet how we get to, they get to be on our plate, right?
Yeah.
And they actually mentioned mussels at the end of it, which was, and he was like, mussels are basically a plant, so go fucking ham and eat them.
Like my kids were like, oh, I feel bad. Because like when you tap them and they move, it feels like, oh, it's a living thing, which it is. But equally, there's no consciousness to a
mussel.
I think
they're like a mushroom.
I mean, like it's literally just a tiny little mussel, literally a little muscly thing that just opens and closes a shell. There's no intelligence. There's nothing. It's literally the same as, to me, it's the same as eating a plant. It has no senses. It has nothing. It's just like a big chemical reaction, which you could say all life is a chemical reaction, but some of it is a sort of a chemical electrical reaction that leads to it something like a consciousness. Mussels ain't got a consciousness. Come on. It's a muscle.
It's they're very
they're such primitive life.
It's a heck of a lot of justification.
No, they're such primitive.
It's interesting to know this, right? Because you know, one of the it is interesting. Like I'm vegan, obviously, but at the same time, I'm one of these people who is reasonable about it, right? Like if there's a chicken and it's produced some eggs and I can see the chicken and it's literally like I'm cooking an egg that's 10 meters away from me.
And it's crying its eyes out. My baby!
My egg! Yeah, like, that's not a problem, okay? Like, I think that all rational people should agree that if that egg was going into the bin, you know,
it's better to eat it. It would just be going into the
bin. It was being transported across the planet, you know, in a jet plane. Ugh, it's not the same. And I'm not saying that, like, there isn't an argument that, you know, me eating an egg means I might get a taste for eggs or be giving other people saying that eggs are okay, that leads to them eating an egg. And who knows what the, you know, what the ramifications are. But I think that I try and be reasonable. And I think when it's you know, it does a kind of muscle feel pain? I mean, obviously yours can when you go for a run, PFLAX. Hey. But and I think it's interesting to you. The thing is, you often we, especially today, so much of our information comes to us in dribs and drabs, in bits and bobs. Like, you know, I'll be told hundreds of different facts in a day, and I won't be able to check every single one. And some right. of them, I'll like the idea of them, and I'll just believe them.
Right? Yeah.
And I think this is why misinformation is such a problem. And I think even, you know, the people who are running the world are surrounded by this, where they've seen a little thing on Twitter, or they've seen a little factoid, or someone's mentioned something to them, they've taken it at face value, and that's now part of how they see the world, right?
Do you mean, like, for example, the current flavor of the month opinion that Ukraine started the war with Russia? That kind of
precisely thing. Like stuff like this. Like, you can see how these things, but actually not. That's obviously like a big one that feels
well,
like
maybe
it's
they
more
shouldn't have elected a dictator.
I'm more talking about all the tiny misinformations that lead to that being the case, right? Like all the tiny little things where it's like, you know, they provoked him and blah, 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 blah. And like all of the reasons why
yeah.
that someone might fall for a bigger
it's
lie.
It's all the little
right?
lies.
It's the mini
it's
lies that lead to
cuts.
That provide the groundwork to the
or
big
cunts.
Lie, right? Death by a thousand cunts. That's how we're all going to go, guys. So anyway, I feel like I never liked mussels because I remember I had to go to a fucking French trip one time. And for some reason, my parents had encouraged me to put my lunch choice as mussels. They'd say, oh, you'll love mussels. Everyone else had ordered chips and a burger.
That's
you
such
know.
A parents thing to do.
And I turned up, you know, at this fucking French restaurant and had to have mussels while everyone else was. And I hated it. I absolutely hated those disgusting, well, yeah. chewy nodules. And
so
you know, I haven't had them in 4 years.
Nodules is a good word. They shouldn't
but
be
the Kurzgesagt video made me think, oh, maybe I should give them another go. But I haven't done my research. Do you know what I mean? Kurzgesagt have lied to me before. And they're not the fucking, you know, bastions of integrity that they purport to be, quite frankly.
I can't.
Goodness me, shots fired. Yeah.
When people talk about seafood, I'm always... I know I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, and it's so off-putting to me, but anytime anyone mentions seafood, I think of Mr. Bean getting sick in that hotel after he eats the seafood at the buffet, you know, when he's trying to one-up the other guy.
Yeah.
And he realizes too late that he's eaten all those bad clams or whatever, and he's sick in the hotel, and every time seafood is mentioned, I think of that scene where he's laying in bed and he's got like fucking boxes of tissues and like Pepto-Bismol bottles like next to his bed. And I just think, oh God.
My partner called me Mr. Bean the other day, honestly. Like she was like, I think I came home like carrying something awkwardly or whatever. And I came in and I was like, oh, hello. And I went to like give her a hug.
Hello.
And she was like, this is the most like, you were like, awkward.
That's like one of those TikTok, the new ick unlocked trend is partner resembles Mr. Bean for a moment.
Like, you know, when he goes to the doctor's office and he goes up to the reception, and she's like, name, please. Bean.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, I love it.
It's kind of so, because he doesn't speak much, it really has translated to like every country in the world. You know,
it's very like, clever.
It's like Benny Hill used to, right? Yeah. It's like a lot of Benny Hill was very popular outside Britain for some reason. I don't know why. But you know the slightly sped up chases, the Benny Hill chases?
Yeah.
Where some girl's bra would come off and she'd be like, oh, and he's running around like a pervert. And then he slaps that old man on the head like really fast. Very, very popular on the continent. Love
you can see
Benny
why.
Hill. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's universally, it's very easy, right? Because the most of the humor doesn't come from any kind of, it's a physical, right? Physical
humor. Yeah.
I always thought Benny Hill must have been a bad guy, but apparently he wasn't.
I think he was a bad guy. Yeah.
You think he was?
I've definitely heard terrible things about it.
You've heard
about Benny Hill?
Serial womanizer as far and pervert, as far as I can recall. Absolutely, yeah. And do you know what?
Not another one.
I've got no backing for that.
I can't find it.
But I've definitely... Write in.
Yeah, tell us if you got any experiences with Benny Hill being a pervert.
Massive perv. I'm sure he was. But do you know what? I'm happy to be wrong. If you write
in. Do you want to hear his personal life? Benny Hill was noted for his frugality. He never owned his home in London and preferred to rent a flat rather than buy one. He rented a double room apartment on London's Queensgate for 26 years until 1986 when he moved to Fairwater House in Teddington, not far from me. While looking for somewhere to live, he briefly stayed in Southampton. Despite being a multi-millionaire, he continued with the frugal habits he picked up from his parents, such as buying cheap food at supermarkets, walking for miles rather than paying for a taxi unless someone picked up the tab for a limousine, and regularly patching and mending the same clothes. He never owned a car. He never married. He had no children. He proposed to three women, but none accepted.
Is this before or after fame?
When famous.
Really?
Famous.
Wow.
Yeah. He spent a lot of time in France. He spoke fluent French. And when he died, his estate was equivalent to £20 million.
Jeez.
So he was just a stingy bastard. But
who did he leave his money to?
In his will, he left it to his parents, oddly enough.
Oh,
but in the end, it was divided amongst his seven nieces and nephews. So,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, they got a windfall.
Yeah.
So that's what's, you know, got to stay in touch with the distant branch of the family or not.
During the night of October 4th, 1992, following speculation that he had been buried with a large amount of gold and jewelry, grave robbers exhumed and broke open his coffin. It was reburied and covered with a thick concrete slab.
Oh my God.
Poor old Benny.
Gotta say, you know, that's a profession you don't hear much these days.
You gotta be fucking
grave robber.
Insane to open a casket that's been under the ground for any period of time. Like, you really have to be.
Yeah. I mean, I'm complaining about, you know, leaving mussels in the fridge for 2 hours. You know, imagine what it's like if someone's been dead under there for a fucking series
of
weeks.
Oh, my God. Even just for a couple of days. Like,
God,
what are you doing?
Well, that's why, some people don't make it as a grave robber and some do. That's a part of the business.
I wonder if there's a story of like the greatest grave robber that ever, you know, there's always someone who's like been very good at something, right?
But
like,
Mucky Daniels, he was called.
Yeah, you never
seven
hear
foot
about
tall,
him.
Was strong as an ox, and he had no nose. How did he smell, Father? Terrible. No, but seriously, he had no nose. He couldn't smell. He
that
broke
is
open
actually
the
like a kind of secret superpower, though, of a lot of these jobs. Like the, you know, you hear about someone who's like, how did you get into this fucking weird thing? And it's like, oh, well, I can't fucking smell. And it's like, okay, that explains why you're able to pull it off, you know?
I think it's called anosmia.
Yes, you've got to lean into your hidden talents.
Yeah, anosmia means
it's not one that you'd see on Britain's
smell.
Got Talent, is it? The lack of a smell, but consider it a talent, you know?
Oh, one of my least favorite words in the description of what anosmia is. The word polyps has popped up.
Polyps.
I hate the word polyps.
Polyps is a nasty one.
Polyps.
I feel like it's very fungal, isn't it?
Of all the awful ways to make money, grave robbing's got to be up there as one of the worst.
Grave robbing's pretty bad.
I mean, but then again, in a video game, you're fucking digging up those graves left, right, and center.
Yeah,
but
right?
You can't fucking stop yourself.
Anytime you see a mound of dirt, in video games that I would never do in real life. Like, I'm renovating a house, I'm mowing lawns, I'm fishing, you know, I wouldn't do any of this stuff in real life. I only do it in a video game. Like, it's a fantasy escape. So, yeah, of course you're going to dig up a couple of graves and run over a couple of grandmas with your car and stuff like that. You know, it's an outlet.
Yeah. Yeah. It is funny how...
You can clean a whole house in a video game. I'd
grave
never
robbing
do that
is,
in real life.
It's kind of...
Yeah,
it is one
I
of those,
cleaning shit.
It's absolutely awful when you think about it in real life. But video gaming is kind of... not normalized these things, but it's just a trope, you know, in video games. It's almost like grave robber is like a cool class
to play as in your game, right? In most games, you will rob a grave. There's very few that exist where there isn't
you might get a disease for doing it. Do you know what I mean? There might be some sort of debuff associated.
Yeah,
I always hate in Dungeons and Dragons and stuff, poison or disease.
Yeah.
And it's always getting the cure for it is like, you will need to find the Diamond of Numenor, take it to the sage known as Clovis, and have him create the remedy for 1,000 gold pieces. Oh, fuck off, dude. You said, do you want to
check another potion that said, hero, you appear to have 725 health potions. I'm saving them for later just in case.
I end every fucking game with his potions, with so many potions.
What? You haven't used a single one of your explosive potions. No, funny that.
Just waiting for the
most fucking boring item in any game ever. The explosive potion. Like, everybody finishes the game with like 20 of them. It never used because, you know, you get a sword or something and say, just use that.
You know what? I was watching something the other day about the early days of Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that. And the guys that that obviously came up with it were probably like young college age guys.
Yeah.
It was the 60s or 70s. I can't remember whether it was late 60s or early 70s. I think it was 70s. And they sort of started coming up with these role playing games. I always thought it was funny that obviously when it comes to wizards, why do wizards in D&D and stuff, pretty much always, classically, are these weak, very smart, but physically completely useless people.
Yes.
Because Gandalf certainly wasn't that in, like, Lord of the Rings. And he's, like, the archetypal fantasy wizard.
Well, he's old, though. Do you know what I mean? He is old, and I think there's a frailness about him. Yes, he can fight with his sword and stuff.
Rides around on a horse, he defeats a Balrog, and he ain't like, in like decrepit. They never, like, Gandalf was lagging behind again. Come on, Master Gandalf, Christ! We're trying to get there today, please!
It'd be so fucked up if he was, like, really young, but super wise as well, but nobody took him seriously.
Why
he was, like,
it?
13 years old, and is, you know, he hadn't quite hit puberty, or he was just, like,
so you mean like
starting
Harry
puberty.
Potter?
A little bit like Harry Potter, but imagine, you know, he had, like, the stature of Gandalf, you know, like...
So he's a big lad.
He's not. He's a small child, but he's, like, super wise and super powerful, okay? And expects people to sort of follow along with him because he's so wise, but nobody takes him seriously. Is that basically Harry Potter?
I don't know. I don't really care for Harry Potter. I've seen a couple of the movies, that's it.
Well,
J.K. Rowling's super yacht was in Jersey the other day.
Oh, yeah?
What? And we had a bomb scare at the airport yesterday. I tell you what, this whole world is crashing and burning. Like, I've never known anything like it.
Now he says it's crashing and burning.
Man.
Okay, there was a bomb scare at Jersey Airport. Tell me
There's a bomb scare at my local airport, okay? I'm sure you can give me this. Like, that's pretty scary. It was closed for like an hour.
Wow. Gosh, that is shutting down.
They had to make sure that there was no bomb. It was an actual full-on bomb threat at the airport.
It's not just a time waster.
Well, I think it was a time waster. Yeah, I don't think there was a bomb up there. Not sure I trust the people here to actually even find the bomb. And if they did find the bomb, defuse that shit either.
What do you mean you don't trust the people? You don't trust the Jersey people? You're one of them.
Yeah, but
I'm
there's
not.
Like eight people on the island, dude. I mean, what are the chances that one of them's going to be a bomb disposal?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there is that about it too, but
you've got like the loads of people go off to Jersey and you've probably got better.
Yeah, they don't.
Probably,
it's mainly old Germans these days. That's it.
Really?
Yeah, they love coming here for some reason. I don't know why.
We love Jersey. We were so close to Operation Sea Lion.
Yes.
And invading Britain was as close as we got. So it's just nice to think what might have been.
It's so nice to think how close we got to invading.
This close.
Almost ours.
Back in the good old days.
We could reach out and touch it. That's how close it was.
Ah, man. Anyway, I think a bunch of them got delayed going home because of the bomb threat. So,
have you seen that old...
It's ironic, isn't it?
That old comedian, that German comedian, getting the crowd to like do like a call and response thing where he says something and they respond. He says something, they respond. And when he says Sieg, they all say Heil. And he's like, whoa.
Yeah, it's like an automatic response for this certain generation of people. Well, there's this thing where, you know, if you're having a chat with people of a certain age or having people round, playing music from their 20s really is kind of very stimulating.
I read this as well.
Your
20s
are the
this.
Era where you most remember stuff. And it's very common to have memories of those times triggered. But also, I think if you have been to a lot of these I don't know, parties or rallies in the 20s, sorry, in a certain era. Wait, because he didn't just have one call. It wasn't like C. Kyle was the only one. There were a ton of them that he went through, and he kind of primed them to quickly...
Do you think he did like the Will Smith, Carlton Banks, or no, sorry, the Will Smith, DJ Jazzy Jeff super handshake as well with a couple of his like top brass?
The one where they would smack hands.
Yeah.
I'm sure that Hitler and DJ Jazzy Jeff have a lot in common.
Why? Yeah. You never know.
What if it came out that Carlton was a Nazi?
They did an episode of Who Do You Think You Are on Carlton Banks, and it turns out that he had roots he had some roots dating back in Nazism.
Damn.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. We're just talking bollocks. Carry on.
So, where was I?
I don't know, actually. I've forgotten. Sorry, Lulu. I'm coming down to Bristol in a few weeks, Lulu.
Yes, we booked in a recording. Excellent. For a games night, which Excellent. Is exciting.
I love a games night.
What are you doing while you're there? Just visiting?
I like to come down and check in every few months, see everybody, go out for some drinks, record some stuff, have some fun.
Every now and then,
go out for dinner
with
Lulu, you know, just see everyone. It's not far.
No.
I love Bristol. Love going out.
Good.
Always have a good night. And got lots of friends in Bristol now. So, I love it.
I'm the opposite. I got so many enemies in Bristol. And I find as soon as I get off the plane, I'm just like, sort of like beating them all back with a stick.
Yeah.
So I don't go anymore.
There he is, got him!
Yeah. Yeah, and then
they wait around with pitchforks and torches.
Yeah, I got to run away and sped up like Benny Hill style.
Benny Hill style.
What is it that you did? Off. What did you do that means that they hate you so?
I think I'm just a really incredible guy.
You're just so incredible.
They hate me. They're jealous.
It infuriates them. Yes. I'm just
so amazing, you know?
That's understandable.
Yeah.
That people would be jealous of your, you know, whatever the fuck you got.
They see
stuff,
me rolling and they are hating. All the time. Yeah. So that's why I don't go.
I played a few more games on Next Fest and the demos. I played Blueprints. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, you know what? When I was telling you about it the other day, I was like, it dawned on me that the name of the game is called Blueprints, and like, you know, there's blueprints in the game, you know? Like I didn't get it at first. It did not click for me.
No, I didn't either. Yeah. But then I did, and I was like,
that's clever. Great. It's really clever. Yeah. It's a cool game, isn't it? It is a cool game.
It's cool. I'm really excited for it, actually. I'm not normally excited for games. Yeah.
There's another good one that's I played a demo of it a couple of months ago called Hollywood Animal, which is like you run like a cinema empire sort of thing. It's by the people who do This Is the Police. It's really cool though. The demo's good, and I think the game's coming out next month, so this is another one you can check out if you're looking for
great recommendations.
I have been playing Football Manager still.
Nice.
And I have been watching Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares, and I've come up with a Gordon Ramsay Kitchen Nightmares bingo.
Right.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right. So
these are the things that I guess when you watch a lot of episodes, you realize he says the same shit over and over again. A little bit like what we do on this podcast, probably.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, you could easily do a bingo for us. So I've done bingo for 23 episodes. We've done the bingo for, and out of that 23, we've only achieved a full bingo one time.
Wow!
Bingo.
we just get so unlucky. So here's the bingo. I'll go top left, and I'll read left to right. So sort of top left to top right, and then second row, and then third row, and so. So one of the top left is owner on the sauce mid-shift.
Right.
Because quite often they'll be like drinking on the job.
The owner's drinking on the job. Well, it's a common kitchen thing, isn't it? That the owner would be like doing some drugs or something
just
as well.
Hammered.
You know, they can't help it.
Yeah. So this They're is heavy. Walk-in fridge freezer should be condemned.
That's
every episode, basically.
So it's you'd be surprised.
Slimy
it's not
chicken
every episode.
Found in the fridge that was like 3 years old.
But you think that's every episode. It's not. A waitress cries after being berated by the owner.
Okay.
Not every episode, but it happens quite consistently.
Yeah. Shouting
match in the middle of service happens a lot.
Every episode.
Owner says, our customers love our food. That is a very common square.
Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay says, blow smoke up someone's ass. He goes, I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke up your ass. He says that all the time. Everything is frozen and reheated. Very common. The owner or chef backs their food. And they normally say, oh, I back our food. They always say that.
I back our food. Yeah.
Someone storms out citing, I can't take this abuse. One staff member can cook, but is unappreciated.
Oh.
Someone tries to fight Gordon or threatens him. The chef microwaves everything. Gordon says, fuck me, which happens a lot.
That's got to happen.
That's our free square in the middle. That is our free square in the middle. The one next to that is cleavage, cleavage, cleavage. And when you watch the American version of the show, the editors and the camera people pan slightly slower over a pair of bazooms and then to a face. Like, they love getting cleavage shots in the show.
So, really?
Yes, you notice it. We've watched so many episodes now. That
must be a conscious editing choice. Honestly, they must say the people will actively enjoy this more if we sneak in little fucking cleavage shots.
100%.
That's so cynical. I hate it. I fucking hate that.
I love it.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so the next one is simple two-word phrase, fresh frozen, which is something that comes up a lot.
Fresh frozen. What do you mean?
What does that mean? It means that they're getting frozen shit in, or worse, and they do this a surprising amount, literally making something and using it for the whole week. So pasta is a big one. You'll get these restaurants that are supposedly Italian restaurants, and they've got bags and bags and bags of frozen pasta. Frozen pasta. It's astonishing.
It's already been boiled.
And then they
They've made fresh pasta.
Oh, right. And
instead of cooking it that day, they freeze it.
Yeah.
And then it just sits there. And they'll he'll say, are these clams fresh? And they'll be like, yeah, they're fresh. They're fresh today. And then the waitress will be like, no, actually, they're frozen. He's like, so it's not frozen. He goes, yeah, it's fresh frozen. He goes, what does that mean? He's like, it arrived fresh. And we froze it. So it's fresh frozen. And then when we use it, it's still fresh. And he's like, no, that's not how that works. So fresh frozen. The next one is family business, but family is cursed. So that happens a lot.
That's the whole premise of the show, basically.
What do you mean? What I mean is, there was an episode we watched the other day. The dad inherited a lot of money from his father, $250,000. And his son also received $250,000. But the dad took the son's $250,000 and put it into the restaurant. So he stole his son's inheritance. That is a cursed family.
Family curse.
Yeah. So here's another one. Shut it down. Shut it down before someone dies.
Yeah.
Which is a phrase you hear quite often.
Yeah.
The decor is horribly dated and or dirty, which happens a lot.
I find that when they spruce it up, it still looks dated, though.
Like, yeah, a lot of these were mid-2000s episodes, you know. Mountains of debt exceed 50,000. So sometimes they'll be like, how much are you in the hole for? And they'll be like, 2.3 million. You're like, what? It's crazy. Flies or other pests clearly visible. So,
oh, God, yeah.
We've had a pigeon in one episode. And every time there's a fly, the Foley artists on the show add little noises.
Yeah.
It's so good. Just like when Gordon is pulling apart some horribly rotten piece of chicken, they'll add like goopy noises over the top. The Foley work on that show is so good. All right. So bottom left, chefs have absolutely no idea how to cook even basic meals. Happens a surprising amount. Like, they can't even fucking cook pasta. It's incredible. Owners berate customers unfairly. That is one of my favorites. We had one where the guy literally calls you motherfucker, get out of my restaurant. And all the guy had said was, sorry, we've been waiting an hour and a half for our food. And his guy threatens to fight him and calls him a motherfucker. three left. Server gleefully spills the beans on the parlous state of affairs in the eatery. So quite often, first of all, they always refer to it as an eatery, which is not a thing you hear outside the US.
No.
But one of the servers will be like, Gordon will be saying, is this fresh? And she'll be like, no, it's frozen and it's awful. I wouldn't eat it. And then she's like grinning because finally someone's here to hear their complaints about this shitty place. That's always funny. Menu resembles a phone book. Thought that was going to be a free square. You'd be surprised. It doesn't come up that often, but sometimes it does. And the menu is like 8 pages long.
Oh,
and
my
last, and it's, we always, almost always get this one. It's raw. That's another one that's basically a free square.
Man, oh,
it's
man.
Raw.
And that's the bingo.
It is a great show, though. I do. If it's on, I watch it.
I am always stunned when they're putting stuff out raw. And it's really, I guess, like, are they, what, I don't, is it just because of the rush? Is that it?
So
it's like they haven't got time to cook it through properly. But I would be so. I would think everything would be overcooked.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
I'm an overcooker. Right.
I mean, especially if you're cooking for people, you would be more worried about making them sick because that's where you get things like lawsuits and stuff like that.
Everything I cook is cooked into oblivion.
Right. Yeah. Like if the option was, you know, cook it quicker but make people sicker, I would not do that. Cook it longer, but the meat becomes stronger. You know what I mean? So I don't know what I'm doing here, but anyway. So the theme of Kitchen Nightmares, when it comes to the people that come to Gordon, first of all, he has about a 1 in 6 success rate for turning places around. So as soon as the episode is finished, we look up what happened next. Almost always close within 5 to 6 months. Almost always.
Because the episode doesn't go out in time, though, does it?
No. I'm like, talking about it from between them filming and the episode, and you know, obviously, you probably wouldn't want the episode to go out because you're trying to relaunch, and you're going to look like absolute cunts when this episode comes out. Like almost always, these owners are such awful, awful human beings that if the episode went out like immediately, they'd be even more fucked because everyone would be like, I'm not getting that fucking restaurant. That guy's insane.
I see.
So it kind of gives them a chance. But it's always, it always fails because they are extremely stuck in their ways. They've got this stupid idea that they know what good food is and they know how to run a restaurant. But these people have clearly never eaten good food. Like if you'd only ever eaten bad food, you'd think bad food was good.
I'm there.
It is so common. Though that people are not fussy as well, and will just and also they tell someone, "Oh, grandma, your food is so amazing! Right. Oh, it's so great!" Like because what's the point in lying? You don't want to upset your grandma or your mum or anyone, right? And so they get this false idea that they're brilliant fucking cooks somehow, and they get this delusion. That's kind of come because everyone who's eaten my ribs says they're the best ribs. It's like, well, but...
does that scale up to a business? Probably not.
Exactly. And sometimes it does.
Like some of these guys, they have no inventory management. And they're like, I'm at this restaurant 10 hours, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then you look in the fridge and there's just, sometimes it's just bag after bag after bag of frozen chicken breast. And it's like they just keep ordering it in. They keep ordering it in. They've got no point of sale, like tracking of inventory or what's the most popular dishes. They're so reluctant to change. And genuinely, they just don't know what they're doing. And then a lot of the time, they're just not very smart.
I've done that, though. Like on Ocado, sometimes they're like, oh, do you need more of this? And I'm like, probably. I ended up with like fucking 16 bottles of toilet duck or something.
We do that as well.
It happens, right? You can't. But I. I think when you're running a business, you can't have like...
Yeah, you're running a business. Because the chef in the kitchen should know, you know, what is important here? What do we need? What are we low on? And instead, it's just like they literally don't know. It's crazy. It is really crazy. But fun to watch. I mean, it's just such a fun show to see Gordon go in. Apparently, he quit because he just realized it was not making any difference. Like, it was just literally not making a difference. None of these restaurants
I think
were getting turned around.
He'd done so many. There's hundreds of episodes.
Yeah, he was making so much money from it.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God. But, like, dealing with it, like, it was basically kind of, it's Jerry Springer-style TV, really, isn't it? Like,
it's
a lot of it.
It's just so good. It's just such a fun show. The funniest thing to me is the difference between the UK version and the American version. First of all, the UK version barely has any music in it. The American version, there is music continually. And they use this instrument called, I think it's called a waterphone. It's like a ball or something. And it makes this weird sort of, like, sort of sound. I can't really do a replicate it. Imagine if in a horror movie someone like gets a creepy feeling behind them. It's sort of almost a wincing sound. I don't know how to put it.
Yeah.
But that comes up every single episode, like continually.
And it's like a musical cue that signifies awkward interaction.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, it's like someone comes into a restaurant, they say something awkward, they edit in this like awkward silence, and they put that cue over
right?
Because they can completely fake all this, whatever they want. The interactions that they can construct the tone they're looking for, which is, you know.
But it also makes it very stupid watchable telly. And even though afterwards most people are like, oh my God, that episode was so unfair, they edited it this way, that way. They did get you on camera calling the customer a motherfucker. Like, you can't complain about the editing. That's just you being a cock. Which is funny. But yeah, it's the editing is nuts, how they do it. And I love it. But the UK version, it's so simple. It's like silent, which makes it even more awkward when he's yelling at them. There's no music. There's no cutaways.
Yeah.
It's single camera panning between Gordon and these gormless English chefs looking lost. And he's going, "You don't know how to fry a fucking egg." And it cuts to some 15-year-old kid who's just looks like he'd rather be in prison than here in this kitchen with Gordon Ramsay.
Production is very different, isn't it? Like across...
It really is.
I've been watching the US Traders, where the production is actually identical.
I hated that version, the US version.
It's... But
they were such unpleasant people. They were like, "I came to win." It's like,
they are. It's crazy. They're like, in the tasks, like the contrast between like... the UK one, the American one, you know, if there's a task and they have a chance to win a shield, none of them will do anything except just go for the shield for themselves.
Yeah. Like they see it like a game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose it is a game. So they, it you is. Know, and, but the thing is as well, the American one is all people that have been on other reality game shows.
Oh yeah.
So it's not almost like the UK one is just, you know, people from the public. Whereas, it's like it's a celebrity one, I guess, if you want to say that, in the American one. But it's all people that have been on Survivor.
You're already dealing with like pre-selected sociopaths.
It's people that have been on these like reality game shows before.
It's people who understand. But then again, I think it's very quickly what happens is if you notice one or two people being that every man for themselves attitude, it warps the entire group very quickly. And everyone behaves in a similar way. They can't help themselves. Like, if it's the normal thing in the group to be jealous and generous and forgiving and, you know, accommodating and looking after, then that's what the bulk will lead to. Like, all it takes is for the majority to be assholes, for everyone to be every man for himself.
It's like a zero-sum game at that point, right?
Yeah,
like, there's no value in not being an arsehole.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you might as well just... Because also, there's no penalty for not. You know, the only penalty is you losing.
I was on another podcast. Sorry, I know this.
What the fuck? You cheated.
I was a guest on a...
Let's
shout
it out.
Another... It's like a game show, though.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
No. It's called SideQuest, and I just want to tell you guys about it because it was really cool, and I had a lot of fun on it, and I just wanted to do a shout out to SideQuest. It's by Bear Taffy, who's a friend of mine, and a couple of other people that stream and that I'm friends with as well. So the whole thing is, you get a group of three. And he's done it like in season. So for us, it was season 2, episode 5. There's two other people that I didn't know that I met. They're just, you know, streamers, podcasters, whatever. And so the idea is that you get a list of quests that you need to complete. And you have to try to complete them all within, you know, a certain amount of time against, you know, all the other teams that have been before you, sort of thing.
In real life?
No, it's not real life quests. It's stuff that you do in games. So basically, you've got Steam open, you get the list, and then the countdown starts. So you're like against the clock, but it'll be like fish up 5 fish. So you're like, okay, oh, what game can I fish up 5 fish quickly in? But you can't do another quest in the same game. So there's like 10 quests.
Yes.
But you have to be like, you got it. It's like testing your sort of, you know, game knowledge.
Yeah, we did a very
whatever.
Similar thing with like a bingo
a
couple of times in couple of years.
That's Shadow a bingo. One.
So there was a whole bunch of games that we were just like randomly installing. Like I did Hydroneer, I had Minecraft, and I had Papers, Please to get. There's a one where it was get a fine. So I just went into Papers, Please, and got a citation like as quickly as I could.
Nice.
That wasn't even my idea. Like, chat can help you. So like, I was just, you know, trying to think like, what the hell can I do? And somebody's like, do Papers, Please, you can get a citation. I was like, yes. Okay. It's like a 200 meg game. It installed immediately. And then I was able to get it, but it was fun. And we came in 10 seconds quicker than any other team. So we currently hold the record. Yeah. It was good. It was really fun.
Really
fun. Yeah.
Well, that kind of stuff is fun. Like doing these little challenges, like that. I think you have to make your own games around games.
Sometimes it's fun. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like sometimes I'm just not in the mood. Like yesterday, I was just like, I think I just couldn't, nothing's been grabbing me lately. I need a game to really grab me.
I've been playing
Football Manager.
I've been playing Victoria 3, but I've been just trying to do achievements. So like, instead of getting stuck into it and being like, I'm just going to do this whole huge, massive campaign, I'm just cherry picking little achievements. So it's like,
that's fun.
Create the Bolivian Peru Confederation. Okay. It took me like 2 hours, you know, just balancing everything out and stuff. And then I got the achievement and then I just went and did another one. So I've been kind of like you were saying, you know, it's like making up games around a game, but I like Paradox Grand Strategy achievement hunting is quite fun because it just...
My friend Axel does that a lot. He's got every achievement in Hearts of Iron.
Yeah.
And every time a new DLC comes out, there's new achievements. So he has to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think it's a really fun way to play the game because it makes you try things that you normally wouldn't, you know? Like,
sure.
So did they just leave you to it, basically?
Who?
And you, the side quest? Or you will chat with them as you
Bear,
were doing it?
No, well, Bear kind of like oversees. So you send him a video feed and you say like, I'm fishing now. And he'll be like, yep, you caught one. Yep, you caught two. And then, you know, he marks it off, you know?
Okay,
so
he's like
the maestro, you know? He's keeping track of everything that's going on and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And then he's got to make decisions whether it counts or not, you know?
I'm just saying that
a lot of reasoning sometimes.
But it is a ripoff of an idea that we've been doing for years, so.
Don't say that.
This guy's ripping off an idea. So it's not.
Don't say that.
Is he giving credit to everyone else who came before him? No, of course not. He doesn't
he
even
didn't
know.
Even he say thank you once. And I don't even think he was wearing a suit either, Lewis.
Well,
so.
That's what I'm saying. You know, maybe he should, you know, consider what he's doing.
Yes.
Yeah. Why are you sad about that? But Plopsaland lives on unmolested, playing the fucking Diggy Diggy Hole song.
Yeah.
Plopsaland.
Yeah.
Fucking. Did you know what?
He didn't even lawyer up to defend his honor.
Yeah, he didn't lawyer up. He didn't do shit.
Yeah.
And now you can't steal a fucking format, by the way. Someone's taken a format and now you're like, oh,
no, I'm not saying that, like, you know. Oh. It's just like, oh, you know, you had a great time.
Until you crunch down on Plopsaland, I've got no sympathy.
Well, also, we're not doing it, are we? And he's doing it. So, you know, I can't say anything. Because if we cared about it so much, we'd be running it every week.
Exactly,
you know?
Brother.
But this guy's turned it into a successful format. He's getting content creators like Sips in to do it, and they're promoting it on their podcasts. Good for him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's go shout out to...
You didn't seem happy about it a moment
out to
ago.
The, I do. You know, I change. You changed my mind. I'm willing to change my mind. I've changed my mind, and I'm fully supporting it. What's the guy's name? Let's shout him out. Bear Taffy. Bear Taffy sounds like a nice guy. He probably is. I'm sure
he does stuff with Crendor as well. Are you Crendor?
He's a good lad.
I love Crendor.
There you go.
Good lad. He's a good lad. Yeah.
There you go, Lewis. Calm down.
Just calm down, mate. Jeez.
I am calm.
I haven't done a podcast with Hitler. Okay.
Maybe you should try it out. Maybe you'd like it.
Maybe who knows? Maybe you'd like it.
Get on the fucking Hawk Tour bandwagon and start becoming a right winger.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money in that.
I'm going to start a side quest cryptocurrency.
Yeah, Sipscoin.
Yeah. There you
go. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Classic Sips rug pull.
Yeah.
In Jersey too. There's no taxes either. So you get even more.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's the perfect place. Let's make Jersey great again with a rug pull.
Yes. Let's make Jersey great again. Good idea. I'll get the hats printed immediately. Oh my gosh. Well, thanks so much for listening, everybody. It's been a podcast once again.
Yes.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Goodbye. Almost certainly has. All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.